What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here for PackersNews.com. Nagler's Never Right, back after the final preseason game and the initial 53-man roster cutdown. That's right, I thought I'd wait a little bit rather than having a podcast that was relevant for 24 hours and then completely useless. Hope everyone held on okay in my absence, but here we are. The Packers have announced their initial 53-man roster. I thought we'd go over it, talk a little bit about some of the decisions that were made, and, you know, get a general feel for what the Packers are doing here. Now, the A number one question I have gotten, and this is by far and away the case, is where is Ahmad Brooks on the 53-man roster? That's right, you don't see him there, but you will. Undoubtedly, the Packers will be placing either somebody like Don Barclay or Montrevious Adams onto injured reserve now that the roster has been compiled. Anyone placed on IR prior to that is not eligible to return later in the year. So Joe Carriage, his year is over because he was placed on IR yesterday. But somebody placed on IR today or tomorrow, they can be brought back after 8 weeks. The league has given them teams two selections per year now. Used to be only one. Now you can bring back two guys. So one or more of those guys will go on to injured reserve, and then you can expect Ahmad Brooks to sign on the dotted line and then to be a member of the 53-man roster. So that is what is going on there. As for the decisions themselves, let's start. Well, I'll just go through the positions and talk real quickly about each one. Starting with quarterback, obviously Brett Hundley is the backup to Aaron Rodgers. The decision to cut Taysom Hill and Joe Callahan, you have to think one of those guys is destined to be back on the practice squad. It's no given that either one will, but you got to think that's the feeling, that that's the thinking. Hill in particular, he is probably the target, but you know, it is definitely a risk. There's no doubt about it. And I understand those who have voiced concern about, you know, putting him out there, putting him on the waiver wire. But look, the kid is 27 years old. He's awfully old for a rookie, and he has a very large injury history at BYU. And he's a project. As well as he played, and as exciting as he was to watch, he is still very much a project. So his cutting him and trying to get him on the practice squad is not a surprise. As far as Joe Callahan goes, I'll be very interested to see what happens there. If Hill does get picked up by somebody else and they ask Callahan back onto the practice squad, you know, I'm sure there'll be some hurt feelings there because I don't think he got really much of a chance. He didn't get a real fair shake, I don't think, as far as preseason time goes. I think, yes, in practice, he played well and he got his reps. But Hill was definitely given much more time and was allowed to throw the ball a little bit more than Callahan was. Now, maybe that's Hill making adjustments to the line of scrimmage. I don't know. But yeah, and if Hill is back on the practice squad, you can say goodbye to Callahan. I don't think there's any way they keep four quarterbacks. Then you can move to running back. Obviously, there's Ty Montgomery, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, and Devontae Mays. They kept all three of their drafted running backs, the rookie running backs, and they released Khalif Phillips. I don't think any of that is a surprise. Maybe the keeping of Mays. I thought they may cut him and put him on the practice squad and keep Reggie Gilbert, who we'll get to in a little bit, but they didn't. They went that way. They obviously liked all three guys. I've said pretty much all summer, all camp long, I think all three have shown that they can play in the NFL, so it's not a surprise that they kept all three. I tend to think Aaron Jones will be your first up off the bench when Ty Montgomery needs spelling, but it'll be very interesting to see how they kind of divvy up playing time and opportunities for those three. And then at fullback, as we mentioned, Joe Carriage goes on to injured reserve. Aaron Ripkowski is your lone representative for fullbacks. At wide receiver, we've got Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, Jeff Janis, and Davis as your probably returner specialist, etc. Geronimo Allison will be gone for week one. And interesting nugget I got from the NFL, I asked about the concussion and being in the concussion protocol. If he's in the protocol, it doesn't affect his suspension. In other words, if he would have missed the game due to a concussion, well, we won't know his status until Wednesday when they give their first injury report. But if he had been required to miss it because of the concussion, the NFL doesn't move back the suspension to week two. He serves that suspension week one regardless. So he will most definitely be back for week two in Atlanta. Well, obviously they'll have to make a choice about who to cut to bring him back. And the released guys, you've got Michael Clark, you got McCaffrey, you got Dupree, Yancey, and Crockett. I know there's been a lot made about cutting draft choices, but look, that's the product of having a deep team. And, you know, people are going to nitpick and say, well, they should have drafted defensive players. And I would challenge you to go and look around the league and look at those sixth and seventh rounders who may make teams, you know, around various squads. But, you know, more often than not, those players are not going to be difference makers. They're not going to be, you know, team. The chances that they, you know, blossom into significant contributors is very minimal. The Packers were obviously trying to be true to their board when they took those wide receivers and, you know, like their upside, what have you. It just didn't work out. I thought Yancey in particular had a pretty darn good preseason. I think Clark and McCaffrey had excellent training camps. And I think there's a good chance those three could be back on the practice squad. I don't think Dupree is back. I could be wrong. We'll find out later today. I'm recording this on Sunday morning. But, yeah. And then Crockett, I think he's speedy and he's got a lot of upside. And you're definitely intrigued there. But to me, if I was guessing which three they would target for the practice squad, it would be Clark, McCaffrey, and Yancey. And then at tight end, obviously, there are the three. Martellus Bennett, Lance Kendricks, and Richard Rodgers. They released Peck and Bird. I think Peck showed enough that maybe they ask him back on the practice squad. Bird was there, got to camp very late. Obviously, he was a late addition. And he did make some nice plays and had some nice catches and did some nice things. Aaron Rodgers clearly liked him. So maybe they ask him back, but I kind of doubt it. Then an offensive line, kind of the big talking point coming out of these cuts, I think. We've got, obviously, the starting five, Lindsley, Taylor, Evans, Bakhtiari and Bulaga. And then you got the backups. And you got Barclay, Murphy, Spriggs, Patrick, McCray. You know, yes, everyone else has said this, and I will say it. Keeping that many offensive linemen is kind of a nod to the idea that they don't have much there. So they're keeping bodies, and they're trying to find a guy, a combination, a guy who can develop, what have you. You know, obviously letting go guys like Evans, Gray, Pankey, Amichia, and Leff. You know, Leff, I really didn't think had much of a chance, along with Evans. I think Gray is a possibility on the practice squad, as is Amichia. And maybe Pankey. I actually think Pankey can play guard. They kept trying him at tackle, kind of like they did with Josh Walker back in the day. And that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But, you know, again, and this is keeping guys like McCray around, you know, in lieu of a Reggie Gilbert doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but that's the way they wanted to go. And the defensive line, we've got Mike Daniels, Dean Lowry, Kenny Clark, Ricky Jean-Francois, Christian Ringo, Montrevious Adams. And as I said before, I think Montrevious Adams is a good bet to go on injured reserve designated to return, although it really doesn't, you don't really have a designation anymore. You just bring him back. And then they let go of Price, Lunsford, and Hurtaloo. I got to think Price is back on the practice squad. I am surprised that he is not on the 53. You have to think if injuries strike, he'll be one of the first guys they call. There's no doubt about that. But Ringo, they apparently like his pass rush a little bit more. I really preferred Price over Ringo, but that's just me. I think Price is a little bit stronger, a little bit nastier. But they like Ringo's first step, I think, and they like his ability to get into the backfield and slice through things. So they kept him. And then at linebacker, you've got Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Jake Ryan, Blake Martinez, Joe Thomas, Kyler Fackrell, and Jarone Elliott. Vince Beagle has been placed on the physically unable to perform list, which I think we all saw coming. As soon as he didn't practice last week, that die was kind of cast. David Talley was put on the injured reserve. And then Jonathan Calvin, Hyman, Matthews, Gilbert, Tripp, and Latugolunusa, who I can't say, obviously. Were all released. Tripp was a bit of a surprise for me. I know he had suffered with a concussion, but he was a real decent special teamer for them as a late addition last year, and he had played pretty darn well in camp. So I thought there was a chance that he would make it just out of because of that. But for whatever reason, maybe they bring him back on the practice squad. I think he has eligibility left, so we'll have to see there. And then at cornerback, we've got Devon House, Demarius Randall, Quentin Rollins, Kevin King, Josh Hawkins, Ladarius Gunter, and Lindsey Pipkins, my guy from the spring. He made it. Dimitri Goodson is on the physically unable to perform list. And then released are Holmes, Pringle, and Brown. And it's funny, I've seen a lot of kind of questioning of the keeping of Pipkins over Brown. I don't see what people see in Donatello Brown. I think he's had a nice camp, and he made some plays in preseason games. But I think Pipkins is a superior athlete, and I think he just covers better. I like his ability to cover. He's obviously got things to work on. He's a young kid, but he caught my eye in the spring, and I thought he had a slow start to camp, but I thought he really came on as the summer went on and the preseason went on. So I'm not incredibly surprised that they kept him, and I also won't be surprised if he's the first out the door when they have to bring back, say, Geronimo Allison. There's every possibility there. And then at safety, HaHa Clinton Dix, Morgan Burnett, Josh Jones, Kentrell Bryce, Marwin Evans. They released Aaron Taylor and Jermaine Whitehead. Safety's awfully deep. I think all these cats can play. I think Evans probably had maybe the strongest camp out of the whole group, and he's your fifth safety, basically. It's a solid group, and I don't think that any of that is a real surprise. One interesting note, there's 25 offensive players and 25 defensive players and three specialists, so they went right down the middle. It's been a while since that happened. I can't remember how many years ago, if that's happened in the recent Ted era, but I did think that was interesting. So that's your 53. I wanted to just jump on one or two other things in regards to it. Namely, the outside linebacker thing. I know I've said a couple times about the surprise of letting Reggie Gilbert go. And look, I know you need numbers elsewhere, but keeping a guy, again, like McCray over Reggie Gilbert, I mean, Gilbert could actually stand on a football field next Sunday if required and possibly give you something. He's got a nonstop motor. He's a guy who maybe doesn't have great bend, maybe not the greatest athlete, but he could contribute. He could fight through blocks. He could give you a nonstop motor to get to the quarterback. You saw that time and again throughout preseason and in camp. Whereas with McCray, I don't see his upside. I don't see if and when, God forbid, if he had to play, I don't see much. I don't see much positive. There's nothing that he gives you that you won't be able to find on the street. And again, I know they want to develop guys. They want to develop him, but you know, they got the starting five, and past that, they're in trouble. We all know that. But if a sub has to come in, obviously he's going to be helped. It's going to be one man with four others working as a unit. Whereas with Gilbert, you're one man out there on an island trying to beat a tackle. Your singular, I guess, what would you say? Your singular ability is much more important in that regard. And again, I think not having him is a mistake. Although, you know, they'll probably bring him back to the practice squad again. And if and when they need him, they'll call him up. And we'll see. We'll see how, you know, if the pass rush is as ineffective as everyone fears it might be when they're rushing four, maybe they bring him up later in the year, although I doubt it. I've said it time and time again, you know, they're probably going to have to rely on extensive pressure packages this year. Dom Capers is going to have to get very creative. That's why you saw so much blitzing in the preseason. They had to practice it. They'll continue to do so. Then finally, I just wanted to kind of give a 30,000-foot kind of summation here. And I know we obsessively cover it because we know you guys love it and because it's news. But remember, as we're hyper kind of analyzing the 52nd and 53rd spot on this roster, it's the top 20 dudes that are going to determine how this team fares in 2017. I know we've spent a good month now talking about, you know, the fifth wide receiver or the seventh cornerback, but now starting a week from today, I can't believe it's a week from today. That's crazy. A week from today, you know, that those frontline guys will be thrust back into the spotlight for good reason. So you may decry the cutting of a you know, a Malachi Dupree or a D'Angelo Yancey or what have you. But just remember that that is not what is going to make or break the Green Bay Packers in 2017. It is very much going to be Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, Dom Capers, Mike Daniels. Those, you know, the big names, the star players, they have to perform at a high level. And if they do so, the Packers have a really good chance. So that's your look at the initial 53-man roster here on Nagler's Never Right. I'll be back later in the week. I have some fun ideas and guests lined up for you guys. So be sure you're sticking around. Make sure you're checking PackersNews.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you soon here on Nagler's Never Right.